This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The man suspected of driving his truck into a church in Grand Blanc, Michigan, then opening fire and setting the church on fire, has been identified as Iraq War vet Thomas Sanford. ABC's Josh Margolin with more on a possible motive.
Officials last night at their final press briefing of the day said this was being investigated as an act of targeted violence, but they didn't say it was being investigated as an act of domestic terror or a hate crime. That's the type of thing they would say if they had confirmed a motive that suggests that Christians were being targeted for being Christians, for practicing their faith.
Sanford was killed in a shootout with police. In North Carolina, three people were killed, five injured, when a gunman on a boat opened fire on a crowded pier.
He was, really was shooting fish in a barrel.
That's Steve Emmons, who was there, the gunman charged with murder. In Washington today, President Trump will meet with top congressional leaders of both parties on avoiding a government shutdown. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. The president has tons of critics in or out of the entertainment business, but none have been as harsh as Bruce Springsteen. The boss has written about blue-collar America for most of his career and professed his love for his country in a recent interview with Time magazine. Springsteen hit the president pretty hard during his tour last spring. The boss does not seem intimidated, even though the president has him by 3 years, about 150 pounds, and is beating him in bankruptcies, 6-0. Not to mention he is also leading when it comes to telling someone not to certify election results. Be that as it may, the boss has a lot more kick-butt tunes. All the president could come up with in response to Springsteen's harsh criticism was, "He's dumb as a rock." This from the guy who can't pronounce acetaminophen. In the interview with Time, Springsteen probably realized he couldn't match wits and just said he couldn't care less what the president thinks. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
An overtime that ends in a tie. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports from Dallas, where the Packers and the Cowboys played a full overtime period and Green Bay kicking a field goal to end the game in a 40-40 tie. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur on why he's disappointed heading into the bye.
It's disappointing. Just too many critical mistakes that led to that tie. Give Dallas credit. They did a great job offensively, moving the ball down the field. But there's a lot of things that we all have to clean up, starting with myself. I mean, we're trying to be aggressive at the end of the half. That really bit us in the butt.
Baseball, the Brewers with a 4-2 win at home Sunday over the Cincinnati Reds to close out the regular season with 97 wins, a new franchise record.
I'm glad that this team gets to be remembered differently. I'm not into records necessarily, but it's a way for the 2025 to be recognized differently.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Todd Albaugh.
She's a broadcasting legend in Wisconsin, and we're lucky enough to have her here at Civic Media. We start our new segment. Jane Matinere joins us for Matinere Mondays. Next time, join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
107.7 WRCE, news from the center and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high in the mid-70s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. We'll drop down to around 53 for a low. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high of 81. We're going to keep the sunny, dry weather rolling through the rest of the week, the weekend, and well into next week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 52.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman Program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will get a recap of all the weekend news with Civic Media News Director Sholly Pittman. And we're going to talk about PFAS in Wisconsin Ducks with David Drake. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
World Dairy Expo Week and the Midwest Farm Report team is ready to go. How about you? Welcome to a Monday, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. We call this our Super Bowl Week. Why? Because people from all around the world are in Madison, Wisconsin, talking about the dairy industry, and that is right up our alley. If you're one of the visitors in the state, we'd love to hear from you. Our talk text line is always open. How'd the trip go? What are you looking forward to at the show? What have you already been involved in? 877-301-FARM. That's the number to use. 877-301-3276. You use it any time that you think of a story or a comment that you'd like to share. We'd love to see it. What I do love to see is the dry weather that's going to continue in Wisconsin. Man, I was driving around this weekend, see that some of the combines already into the soybeans, and of course, the corn silage harvest continues. Sunny today, it's going to be a little on the warm side. The barn fans are going to be on those beautiful bovines, I'm sure. 85 are expected high. Winds out of the southwest, about 5 miles an hour. Clear tonight, down to 57. Tomorrow, sunshine and 81. Wednesday, a few clouds roll in. Little cooler, 78, but we stay dry. Thursday, sunshine, highs near 80 degrees. Stu Muttgreg, meteorologist, has the weather details right around the corner.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
Did you just plant Pioneer Brand Z-Series soybeans again?
You bet your next-level genetics I did. After last year's huge yields, why wouldn't I want to maximize that Z-Series momentum?
Right. How could I forget about that performance? It totally beat our expectations. Let's unleash some Z-Series on those acres. Come on.
Now you're talking. With that kind of ROI, why would we plant anything else?
Plant Z-Series soybeans in the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/greatest yields.
Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Farmers deal with a lot, including long days, stress, and fatigue. This is your reminder to take breaks, stretch, have a snack, and hydrate your body. Avoid farm accidents by keeping yourself healthy. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn how Rural Mutual supports Wisconsin farmers and prioritize safety on the farm.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin is building strong farms for a strong future right here in America's Dairyland. Join them and Pam Yonke at World Dairy Expo on October 1st and 2nd at 1 p.m. at booths 3403 and 3404 in the exhibition hall.
Axiota Animal Health is focused on science-based solutions for dairy animal health. Multimin 90 provides a blend of injectable vitamins. Lactopro helps support high-energy diets. Learn more about Axiota on Thursday, October 2nd at 9:30 a.m. or visit axiota.com.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Many of my favorite high school memories begin in the ag classroom. I'm Kylie Allen for the Midwest Farm Report, and according to Sally Ladston, I'm not the only one who values agricultural education. Wisconsin FFA membership has hit an all-time high, and nationally there are over a million members. Sally is the Agriculture, Food, and Natural Resources Education Consultant and State FFA Advisor. She tells us about the growing FFA membership and the innovative ways chapters are meeting the growing membership demands.
We have seen a few chapters chartering, and actually that's something that's been kind of, I'll say, booming. You know, the numbers aren't staggering by any means, but compared to the past number of years, we're seeing quite an increase in chapters that are getting interested. This year, we're excited to welcome a couple of new chapters. Winnebago Lutheran is one. iForward, which is a virtual school up in Northwest Wisconsin. And then we're also seeing some changes in how chapters are structuring themselves. And so Green Bay Middle School and Pulaski Middle School both have chartered new chapters for this year. And so when I say that, that doesn't mean that those middle school students haven't been engaged in the past. They were just part of what we call the combined chapter. And so that was combined with the middle and high school. And now we're seeing more and more schools finding value in chartering their middle schools separate so that those middle schoolers have really their own specific chapter that's just for them. How schools manage that is very up to them, and every chapter is a little bit different. But it's exciting to see those middle schoolers really taking on a more leadership approach, because it shows that they're really interested in a leadership type of role. And we know that the earlier we can engage students, the more likely we are to carry them throughout. And so that's exciting to see younger students really stepping into those places. We're also really excited to see expansion of agricultural education across the state too. And so, for example, Ladysmith and Wautoma are two schools that are starting to engage agriculture, may charter FFA chapters in the future, but really that first step is getting an agriculture educator in the classroom teaching students. And so that's exciting to see those changes happening.
And so you mentioned a couple of things there that I want to bounce back to. Yeah. What is the importance, or why are these middle schools choosing to charter a different chapter? How is it different from just being combined?
So it really varies for what reason drives a chapter. Some of it can be financial. When there's a middle school chapter, you can pay a middle school fee, which is a flat rate, to engage as many middle school members as you're interested in. So if you have 100 students, it's the same cost as if you have 40 students. So that membership rate can be a huge driving factor from a financial perspective. It can also be a leadership perspective. Sometimes middle schoolers say, you know, we want our own officer team, and we want to have our own constitution and bylaws that operates a little bit differently than the high school. And maybe it models directly after the high school, but it keeps that middle school feel very separate and different from what the high school is doing. Those chapters are often going to work together, obviously, and work hand in hand with one another, but it gives that middle school feel where it's just middle schoolers. They're not interacting as much with the high schoolers in things like their meetings, their different recreational activities. But again, it can vary pretty significantly from chapter to chapter as to what drives them to want to make that middle school charter. The Green Bay schools, for example, because there are a number of high schoolers in that school district, the different high schools all have their own FFA chapters. And so by having a separate middle school chapter, they didn't have to select which high school they were going to in order to pick which FFA chapter to be a part of. They can just be a part of the Green Bay middle school chapter and then move on to that high school chapter depending on where they get placed for a high school. So again, it can really vary, but I think it's exciting to see middle schoolers really stepping in and taking on the leadership, because again, by having their own chapter, they now have to manage their own chapter too, where they might have been able to lean on the high schoolers a little bit more in the past with the combined chapter. Now they're in charge and they're making those decisions that are best for them and their classmates.
Well, you know, I came from about a town of 10,000, so I didn't have to think about in middle school which high school I was going to go to. I just went down the hallway. So I think that's a really interesting comparison that we can make. You also mentioned that we have online chapters. How are those structured?
So those are structured with the virtual schools that they're tied to. Any student who wants to be an FFA member has to be engaged with agricultural education. And so when we talk about starting an FFA chapter, the first step really before any conversations can be had are making sure that a school district has a licensed agricultural educator teaching agriculture courses. And so the virtual chapters that we have chartered had those classes in place being taught by Wisconsin licensed teachers. And so what their dynamic looks like is really up to that local program. Some of the chapters that we've worked with have talked about wanting to have some more in-person activities as well as virtual meetups. And so some of them are taking a more hybrid approach, but really it can be any variety of dynamics as what that chapter wants to engage with and be a part of. A lot of chapters are talking about, you know, do we have virtual meetings, and then maybe the contests and competitions that we go to are in person. We don't have virtual contests at this point. So leadership development events, often referred to as speaking contests, those are all held in person. So if you're a member of a virtual chapter, you still compete in person, just like a member of any other chapter in the state of Wisconsin. It's just your chapter itself has been a part of a virtual school.
Well, it sounds like there are a ton of opportunities to be able to get ag programs into these schools and for students to get involved. But what if maybe I don't see that opportunity in my district? What can I do?
So if you don't already have agricultural education, obviously one opportunity would be to work with your district to see about starting courses. And that's often a way that we see programs starting, is the community rallying and saying, this is a really important part that we want our students to engage with academically. But if that's not an option, there's always the option to look towards one of these virtual options, taking courses online. Or we do know of a number of students that will open enroll to a nearby district and take courses. Maybe they open enroll full time, or often what we'll see is they'll maybe just take one or two classes at a neighboring district, and then the rest of their time is spent in their home district. And so depending on what an individual student's situation is, can really vary what option is going to work best for them and their family, but really looking at a number of ways for students to get engaged in agriculture.
With that growth of chapters, generally speaking, do you have enough of a pipeline of teachers, or are you having to pull from other states?
Wisconsin is unique in that we have some really flexible alternative licensure options. And so typically what will happen is if we don't fulfill all of our positions, individuals will find alternate license routes in order to fill positions and keep, in particular, their home communities going. That's typically what we'll see, is if a school district can't find a teacher, they're going to, you know, talk about it within their community. Someone in the community says, you know, I really want to make sure this program continues. What can I do to help? And we'll find a way to become a licensed educator. Or alternatively, maybe somebody else in the school who's already teaching another subject will find a way to become licensed for agriculture as well. And like I said, we've got lots of flexibility in what that looks like in Wisconsin. So we find a number of individuals coming in with an alternate license, not that traditional program of going through like a four-year university with an agricultural education degree, but rather a huge array of individuals with a variety of backgrounds coming to the programs and finding ways to be licensed to keep programs alive and thriving.
Sally Ladston, the Agriculture, Food, and Natural Resources Education Consultant and State FFA Advisor, along with us. She says that members are not only engaged in joining the organization, but also engaged in participating in the activities within it. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Kylie Allen.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Tom Tiffany, the Republican congressman representing Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, has finally made it official. He's running for governor. The election for governor in 2026 is the state's first open race for the office since 2010, and it's sure to invite many candidates to run. And on the Republican side, Tiffany's is the most significant announcement yet. There's a very good chance that he is going to be the Republican nominee for governor at this time next year. If that proves to be the case, it would signify a major shift in the center of power for Republican politics in Wisconsin. For so long, it's been the Wow counties, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington, three of the counties that surround Milwaukee, that have been the Republican stronghold in the state. But if Tiffany is the one on the top of the ticket, it will be the most clear indicator yet of how the party has shifted from more of a suburban one to one where GOP voters are more centered in exurban or rural areas.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
We don't always agree politically, but Bill McCosh.
Thanks for having me. You want to talk Brewers first?
It's been a really special season, and it's not whether you're wearing red or blue hats. It's yellow and blue.
How do you come together in politics? This is one of the ways. Yeah. Find some common ground and then expand on that. And then you got to listen to the other side.
Our neighbors are not our enemies. We can disagree politically, but still find ways to bring our community together.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app. News from the Center, WRCE. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian Mike Lucas and director, producer, and founder of Wisconsinology.com, Frank Anderson. Thank God it's Monday. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Very little to complain about, according to this forecast. If anything, it's that we're moving pretty fast with the harvest. I saw some soybeans getting combined yesterday, Stu. That was a little bit of a surprise to me.
Yeah, I saw yesterday morning that they'd gone off already sometime Saturday. It surprised me. I thought they were just green about a week ago.
Yep. Well, it's dry enough now. And if we're going to get into the 80s today and no rain this week, a lot of things are going to keep drying down fast.
And I noticed that on the mower in my backyard over the weekend. It has really dried out.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So, like we said, this is not where we expect the thermometer to be as we say goodbye to September.
No, not at all. I mean, the last couple of days of the month, Madison, Milwaukee, upper 60s for a normal high. La Crosse and Eau Claire is still a little warmer, closer to 70. But we're going to be way above that, sunny and dry, and that's the picture through the week. A little change toward midweek where clouds and a little cooler air mass try to settle in, at least for a day. But we are going to stay high and dry. A rain chance might very well finally show up for the weekend, and maybe even late Friday night for the northwestern third to half of Wisconsin. So some rain chance may finally show up as we head toward the weekend. But until then, a blocking high pressure system still doing quite the job, keeping any rain way at bay and dry and above normal temps around here. Just a really great pattern wrapping up September, starting October. Not bad at all for World Dairy Expo, with the exception of maybe we got to get that crop in. Well, it is this dry before that rain chance shows up, but that's about the only change there is. A few little scattered showers in central South Dakota this morning. Otherwise, it's dry, and I expect it stays that way until that rain chance in the weekend. I did see an extended forecast out to about the 11th of October, above normal temps, but the precipitation may get back to normal or above later in that period, too. I'll have forecast details right after this.
For far too long, seed discount offers have been too complicated. But today, the Seed Pros of Channel make our stand. No more confusion. No more long-winded radio ads. Just simple savings. 0% financing with early pay discounts. Today, we show up with an easier way to save on seed. Talk to your Channel Seed Pro to get all the details and see what you could be saving. Channel. All in. All season.
At Rural Mutual Insurance, we understand harvest season can bring long hours, tough decisions, and added stress. That's why this week on the Midwest Farm Report, we're shining a light on mental health in agriculture. Tune in each day or catch the Midwest Farm Report podcast to hear real stories from Wisconsin farmers and experts. And visit ruralmutual.com/farmsafety for resources to help you and your family stay safe and healthy this harvest season. Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Everything you've heard is true. Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans are bringing you the next era of soybean performance. Believe the hype. With a generational leap in genetics, Z-Series is redefining what's possible. Ride the wave. Z-Series soybeans have unleashed unprecedented yield potential and delivered maximum return on investment. Plant Z-Series soybeans in the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/greatest yields.
Alrighty, Stu, let's have that forecast then. Pretty easy on you.
Yeah, it doesn't take a lot of work here. Now, our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update is for sunny skies and a great day today. Could be around 80 in far northwest Wisconsin, mid-80s. The further you head south, in the southeast breezes today only about 5. A very pleasant dry day. Could be a little fog in the north this morning. Maybe some of that late tonight, early tomorrow morning in the north as well. More clear skies, though, in the nighttime. Low to mid-50s with east breezes. Back to some sunshine Tuesday. A few more clouds in the west already. Upper 70s and low 80s for highs Tuesday. And then mostly cloudy Wednesday. And that's where we all stay in the 70s. The upper 70s south, low 70s north with the southeast breeze. And then it warms up a little, Pam, Thursday, Friday. But our weekend may finally bring a little rain chance.
All right. Well, we're just starting the week. Let's see how this goes, and we'll catch up on those details later on. Sounds good. Thanks, Stu. Stumach Ag Meteorologist with the weather details you're looking for, courtesy of Compure Financial. Hey, speaking of details, maybe you've never gone to World Dairy Expo. Why don't you follow us Instagram? We're going to be doing TikTok and, of course, Facebook, and learn a little bit more about the granddaddy of the dairy show is officially beginning tomorrow. We're talking about it all morning long here on the Midwest Farm Report.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent interview on John and Gordy in the Morning when they're joined by the fabulous farm babe, Pam Youngke.
The Department of Ag has a problem with Wisconsin stockyards, livestock yards.
This is something that's going to impact potentially farmers no matter what they market. So what the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection is proposing are really, really escalated fees for the license that they give to the markets that sell cattle, the people that truck the cattle from the farm to the market. I'm not kidding you. I'll just ask you guys this. If you got a bill in your house that went up 1,666%.
Wow.
I think that, well, first of all, I think you might require medical attention.
Right.
But, you know, the catch with this one is, farmers don't have a choice. If the department decides they're going to charge these fees for their services, it really is like a fine. I talked to Kurt Larson, who is the president and CEO of the Equity Livestock Sales Cooperative. They must have, I want to say, about 11 livestock yards where cattle are brought to a central location. Buyers come to that location, and that's where the business is transacted. Well, if this fee goes into place, it goes from $400 a year per location to more than $7,000 per year for that same location. Now, to you and I, that seems just absolutely ludicrous.
It is.
But they say that these rules have not been changed since 2009, and it's necessary to finance the program. Now, Kurt Larson has done a lot of work on the numbers. He said that there is no justification in the hours that the Department of Ag staff is spending giving these licenses to justify that. The other thing he said is a lot of this is about traceability. You know how consumers want to know where an animal came from, what farm, and all that. And he said that's really a food safety issue that farmers are already dealing with by putting ear tags in their animals so they you know where it's coming from by keeping really good records, especially in Wisconsin with all our dairy cows. And he said in other states where this has become an issue, there are shared parties that split divvy these license fees. So this is I'm telling you, this is a dust up in a big way. The fees are going to get passed on to the farmer. And they're saying, hey, wait a minute, we already are doing our part.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The man suspected of driving his truck into a church in Grand Blanc, Michigan, then opening fire and setting the church on fire has been identified as Iraq War vet Thomas Sanford. ABC's Josh Margolin with more on a possible motive.
Officials last night at their final press briefing of the day said this was being investigated as an act of targeted violence, but they didn't say it was being investigated as an act of domestic terror or a hate crime. That's the type of thing they would say if they had confirmed a motive that suggests that Christians were being targeted for being Christians, for practicing their faith.
Sanford was killed in a shootout with police. In North Carolina, three people were killed, five injured, when a gunman on a boat opened fire on a crowded pier.
He was, you know, really was shooting fish in a barrel.
That's Steve Emmons, who was there, the gunman charged with murder. In Washington today, President Trump will meet with top congressional leaders of both parties on avoiding a government shutdown. This is ABC News.
An overtime that ends in a tie. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports from Dallas, where the Packers and the Cowboys played a full overtime period and Green Bay kicking a field goal to end the game in a 40-40 tie. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur on why he's disappointed heading into the bye.
It's disappointing. Just too many critical mistakes that led to that tie. Give Dallas credit. They did a great job offensively, you know, moving the ball down the field. But there's a lot of things that we all have to clean up, starting with myself. I mean, we're trying to be aggressive at the end of the half. That really bit us in the butt.
Baseball, the Brewers with a 4-2 win at home Sunday over the Cincinnati Reds to close out the regular season with 97 wins, a new franchise record.
You know, I'm glad that this team gets to be remembered differently. You know, I'm not into records necessarily, but it's a way for the 2025 to be recognized differently.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Todd Albaugh.
She's a broadcasting legend in Wisconsin, and we're lucky enough to have her here at Civic Media. We start our new segment. Jane Matnair joins us for Matnair Mondays. Next time, join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
107.7 WRCE News from the Center.
And home to Matnair on air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high in the mid-70s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. We'll drop down to around 53 for a low. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high of 81. We're going to keep the sunny, dry weather rolling through the rest of the week, the weekend, and well into next week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 52.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent Maggie Dawn Show interview with 32nd State Senate District Senator Brad Pfaff.
I wanted to talk to you about consolidation across basically every subsector of the agricultural industry. This is the phenomena of, hey, do you miss your local hardware store on Main Street? Well, that's because Walmart moved in. It means that they can, without even getting in a room and agreeing about it, effectively push prices up, especially when measured against inflation. In other words, there's price gouging going on because of consolidation. You care about this deeply. You've been following this deeply, and it is just getting worse, is it not?
It surely is getting worse, and quite frankly, it's wrong. So if you are going to grill a hamburger tonight or grill a steak, I want to let you know that while that beef may have come from the countryside all over this nation, the thing is, there are four meat packers in this country that dominate 80% of the marketplace. And I also ask you to envision an hourglass in which you have hundreds of thousands of independent family farmers, and then envision the bottom of that hourglass in which you have millions of consumers, and then you have four meat packers at the dead center of that hourglass. So everything gets run through there. I believe that there needs to be a real thorough evaluation of what's happening. But again, this is a domestic marketplace and even an international marketplace, and it really is putting a squeeze on our family farmers, but also I would say on our consumers as well, because I think it restricts our choice. And that is why I pushed legislation, Maggie, in order to try and broaden this supply chain, make sure that we have more small town meat packing facilities. We call them locker plants out here in the countryside, where you can pull into a local meatpacking place and buy your summer sausage or buy your pork chops, and it's all local. And so I'm very proud within the Evers administration, there has been more money that's gone to local meat processing. These are family-owned operations. They're on Main Street, and it's a win-win for our consumers as well because we get greater choice and greater variety when it comes to the food products that we can purchase and eat and enjoy. But yes, the consolidation that's taking place in agriculture, again, it just leads to a ripple effect. And so what happens is that the larger these meat packers get, or the larger, more difficult it gets to be able to sell your product, your animal or your wheat or your grain, what happens is you yourself as a farmer need to get larger as far as purchase more land, and you consolidate. And again, that just leads to fewer and fewer independent entrepreneurs, family farmers on the countryside.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Beautiful day on the way for exhibitors to move in at World Dairy Expo. Tonight, they are going to be celebrating some of the best in the dairy food industry. Stick around for the details on that one. Welcome back, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report on one of our biggest weeks in a calendar year. We welcome everybody in to World Dairy Expo 2025. Remember, as I mentioned earlier, our talk text line is open to you, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. So today is the 29th day of September. Couple little tidbits to share with you today. Let's see, on this day back in 1916, John D. Rockefeller became the first billionaire. Now think about that. First billionaire in 1916. Just imagine how much money that was and is still being felt in many communities today. On this day in 1981, Cheers! Hey, Norm, that premiered in 2013. Another one of the television groups that really stuck, Breaking Bad, premiered in 2013. 1957, the Packers dedicated their new stadium known as Lambeau Field. They had started with City Stadium, and today they dedicated the new space where they beat the Chicago Bears. It had capacity at that time of just over 32,000, and Vice President Richard Nixon was on hand. That was back in 1957. One birthday note, happy birthday to NBA star Kevin Durant. He's 37 years young today, and now you know. Well, you know, World Dairy Expo is here. What you may not know is tonight they'll be recognizing some dairy food industry leaders. More on that in just a moment. Ben Jarbo joins us now with how that kind of passion for dairy foods in Wisconsin's inspiring movement forward at UW River Falls with their dairy processing plant.
The University of Wisconsin-River Falls has been back in session for about a month, but their dairy pilot plant has been in action for a year and a half. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and here to give an update on how the dairy plant is doing with cheese and ice cream production is the Dean of the College of Agriculture, Food, and Environmental Sciences, Mike Orth.
So that is really, it's really getting pretty exciting. We started in the spring making ice cream. And so and it was new, right? This is a new plant. And the person who oversees the plant is an artisan cheesemaker. But they have been working on the ice cream, and they've really got a lot of really good flavors now. They've kind of, you know, as you can imagine, they have to work on their recipes, right, to make the ice cream. But now we have a lot of really good flavors, both vanilla and now chocolate based flavors. So it's really nice. I mean, it's really picking up momentum. You know, we get a lot more people buying ice cream. There's some local, there's a couple local shops now that are using our ice cream. So it's really nice to kind of get that momentum going again, because we weren't making our own ice cream for over 5 years. And so the ability to do that, it's really nice. And it's, you know, it's good to have students that are able to be part of that. And, you know, just to have those products going back out there. And, you know, everybody likes ice cream. Well, most people like ice cream. So, mm-hmm. So that's really been really neat. I mean, they've been working as time goes on. They have more obviously more flavors of cheese. And when making cheese, a lot of the cheeses you have to age. And so some of the cheeses, like on the cheddar side, they now have a sharp cheddar, but it takes over a year to get that sharp cheddar. So some of the cheeses they've made last year, now we're starting to enjoy. So, it's really exciting to see production up and sales up and, people enjoying our products.
And I know I like ice cream and cheese, but how many students are involved in that? What are some of those classes that are involved within this plant?
So there are some food science classes the students would be involved. Now working, there are students that are working in the plants. They may be food science students. We have a Freddy's Dairy Bar that we have a number of students that work there. Now they could be food science majors, but a lot of times they could be majors across campus, which I actually kind of like to get, many students involved. If you ask me for a number of students, between working at the plant and working at Freddy's Dairy Bar, that could be, probably at least 20, in terms of classes. It just depends on the class that goes in there for the specific class that's being offered. The other thing too is the dairy pilot plant is running short courses through there. They run a pasteurization course, they run a cheese making course, and they're looking to develop more courses and also to start hopefully they're going to start offering some of those courses in Spanish as well. So not just our students, but also people in the industry looking for ways to help them and provide resources and courses for them.
Yeah. And if I'm not mistaken, you also make the lactose free ice cream there, don't you?
We do. We Dr. Grace Lewis, she's done research and we do have lactose free ice cream. And to be honest, if you tasted it and didn't know, you would have no idea that it's lactose free. It's lactose reduced technically, I suppose, but it's really, really good. And so they've been working on trying to optimize those products. I mean, one of the things with lactose free ice cream, it is more expensive because of what you need to do to break down the lactose. However, it's something that they're trying to work on the process to make it more affordable. But I will tell you from a flavor standpoint, it's really, really good.
Mike Orth says that they have a new student increase of about 15% with 60 students going into the College of Agriculture, Food and Environmental Sciences. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Hey, everybody, calm down. It's okay.
Oh, it's coming. The farm animals can always feel it.
Is that an earthquake? I didn't think those happened in the heartland. Aren't we harvesting Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans today?
It's not an earthquake. It's the aftershock of unleashing Z-Series soybeans.
You did mention a yield advantage of nearly 4 bushels an acre.
Plant Z-Series soybeans in the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/greatestyields.
Dairy pumps that were designed more than 50 years ago do not meet today's large dairy farm requirements. Bopeller pumps by McFinn Technologies were born and patented this century with a unique and innovative design that ensures gentle, low shear pumping along with efficient, high capacity and long seal life. Bopeller pumps for all your applications will ensure your dairy is operating with 21st century technology. Bopeller is American innovation. Contact your dealer today.
For far too long, seed discount offers have been too complicated. But today, the Seed Pros of Channel make our stand. No more confusion. No more long-winded radio ads. Just simple savings. 0% financing with early pay discounts. Today, we show up with an easier way to save on seed. Talk to your Channel Seed Pro to get all the details and see what you could be saving. Channel, all in, all season.
Welcome back to the Midwest Farm Report. You know, it's been a few months now since dairy farmers started to feel the impact of new federal milk marketing orders. They went into effect in June, and boy, I'll tell you what, they've come at a cost, especially for those dairy farmers like ours in Wisconsin that lean a lot on what we call the make allowance. Zippy Duvall, president of the American Farm Bureau Federation, says it's time for the nation to pay attention at the financial suffering that dairy farmers are going through.
The news is not good when it comes to what we call make allowance. The make allowance determines what is deducted from farmers' check to help pay for the cost of processing. In just 3 months, America's dairy farmers have lost more than $337 million because of the increase in make allowances. USDA is now required to survey processors' costs every other year, but has yet to announce a timeline. We urge USDA to move quickly to schedule the new cost survey so that future hearings reflect the actual processing costs. The farm economy is struggling too much for dairy farmers to be left behind.
Zippy Duvall, president of the American Farm Bureau Federation, hoping that someone in Washington, D.C. will pay attention and take action on what's happening with our dairy industry today. Dairy markets on Friday in Chicago, barrel cheese dropped 2.25 cents to 162.25. 40-pound block cheese was down 1.25 cents, 162.5. Big day for butter, though. That went up 8 cents to $1.72 a pound. Now, this morning in Chicago, our October Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is up 8, 16.87. November was up 21, closed at 16.39 a hundredweight. Currently, this morning, December new crop corn's down 1.5 cents at 4.20. November new crop soybeans are down 3 at 10.11. July new crop wheat is currently unchanged at 5.60 a bushel. You know, we talk about these markets and the negative impact that dairy producers are seeing right now on their bottom line. It's going to be a story shared at World Dairy Expo. Our next guest helping to share those stories, Haley Bukema, is the digital media specialist on staff for World Dairy Expo. But her story is deeper than that. Haley grew up on a small farm in northwest Wisconsin and ended up showing dairy cattle through 4-H. That has now turned into a passionate love of the show, the people, the process. And she's going to share that with us coming up next on a Monday morning.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Maine voters decide November 4th whether adding more ID and mail-in voting restrictions for most voters justifies preventing almost non-existent voter fraud. Question 1 tightens voter ID requirements and adds hurdles for mail-in voters, including the elderly and disabled, despite only 2 voter fraud convictions since 1982. About half of Maine's over 842,000 2024 voters used a mail-in ballot, and over 16,000 subscribed to an ongoing absentee voter list, according to the state's September 2025 figures. If approved, Question 1 would eliminate the absentee list and prohibit requesting an absentee application by phone. It also prohibits third parties from delivering absentee ballot applications, including family members, and limits drop boxes. Maine's population is the oldest in the U.S., with 21.8% of residents over 65. Question 1 also narrows Maine's voter ID options, eliminating student IDs, tribal IDs, and other currently acceptable documents, despite no evidence of abuse. At almost 75%, Maine consistently has one of the highest voter turnouts in the country, and the Heritage Foundation's own figures show just 2 convictions for voter fraud in over 40 years. We have the text of Question 1 at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will get a recap of all the weekend news with Civic Media News Director Sally Pittman. And we're going to talk about PFAS in Wisconsin Ducks with David Drake. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
On MidwestFarmReport.com, fabulous farm babe, across any of your social media streams. Talk text line will remain open to you if you're a visitor in Wisconsin enjoying the show or just somebody that's here maybe for a little bit of a summer break. Please do share 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. He'll be back with us tomorrow morning to give you an update on what's happening in the marketplace. As we wrap it up today, we want to congratulate all of the winners that will be recognized tonight at the World Dairy Expo Dairy Product Contest. We've got two of the grand champions from Wisconsin, one from Vermont. You know, the stories that are unfolding at World Dairy Expo, many started a long time ago. Some of the staff, for example, very connected to this show, like a new face on the World Dairy Expo digital media staff. Her name, Haley Bukema. Haley grew up in the New Richmond area. She didn't come from a dairy farm, but she fell in with love with the dairy animals and the dairy industry. And that's how she has become the digital media specialist for World Dairy Expo. She tells us a little bit more about her path to becoming part of the staff.
So I grew up on a small hobby farm in New Richmond, Wisconsin. Really just started raising heifers, Guernsey heifers specifically for 4-H and FFA. And then it kind of blew up into a larger project. So we've partnered with Valley Jump Farm in Cumberland, Wisconsin to raise our cattle. And then very fortunately, my dad travels internationally for work, so Valley Gem milks our milking herd, and then that was even more fortunate when I decided to go continue my education at the University of Minnesota, where I participated in dairy judging, was able to judge here on the colored shavings in college, as well as participate in showmanship in the fitting contests here at World Dairy Expo. And then my path after graduation ultimately led me back to the World Dairy Expo staff, where I get to spend my first World Dairy Expo as the digital marketing specialist here.
It's kind of a funny circle, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And my uncle, Seth Johnson, was the Breed Association Secretary for Guernsey for 19 years and used to MC the Supreme Champion Ceremony here. So even before I could walk, we'd come and visit Uncle Seth here at World Dairy Expo. So definitely a full circle moment for me.
It's funny, though, Haley was telling me how there was a time in your life where you had to decide, am I going to follow the cows or am I going to follow college?
Yeah, absolutely. And being on the road and fitting cattle was fun, especially freshman year of college, but was able to really hone in on my studies and get a degree in agricultural communication and marketing. And I'm so glad I did and attended classes and really focused on that aspect because I still get to show cattle and have that fun in my free time. But I'm able to still be involved in the dairy industry here at World Dairy Expo.
Well, and the relationships that you built when you were a young person still in high school, and now you're still seeing those people, I'm guessing.
Absolutely, yeah. It's very awesome to see friends both old and new here in the pavilions, and as I walk through the trade show as well, being able to see past employers from internships as well as different opportunities and paths crossing. It's really, really cool that all your paths seem to lead here to World Dairy Expo.
What about the Guernseys? What happened to your Guernseys now?
Yes, so we still have Guernseys at home. I'm very, very thankful. My dad takes care of those while I'm down here in Madison. We don't have any on the colored shavings this year, but look forward to still working on that project together. It's really a special thing, and as I get older, I really have more appreciation for those weekends that I got to spend showing cattle with Dad.
Yeah, you know, and the other thing is people have to understand these dairy cattle are the elite of their breed, of their region. I mean, when you talk about having cattle on the shavings, that is quite a feat.
Absolutely. No, all of the cattle here are the best of the best and come to compete against one another for that coveted title of grand champion or junior champion. And whether it's a champion ribbon, a class win, the first pull, or whether it's just stepping on these colored shavings for the first time, a lot of exhibitors have different goals coming here, and I certainly did as an exhibitor. But now working on World Dairy Expo staff, it's really cool to see those goals come to fruition and see everyone gather at Alliant Energy Center for a week to celebrate the dairy industry and reconnect with one another.
Now, as a digital media specialist, one of the things you're trying to do is draw in people, not just in Wisconsin, not just in the dairy industry, but global and even non-farm consumers. How has that changed your perspective on the show or how you tell your story?
I think World Dairy Expo is such a unique opportunity because so many people come here for very different reasons, whether it's interest in our educational offerings, connecting with the exhibitors in our dairy cattle shows or working within our trade show. They all come for one reason, but they all come to World Dairy Expo to celebrate dairy. And so I think both in my role at World Dairy Expo, but also in how that's shifted. I used to come to show cattle and loved that aspect of things, but being able to see all of the different interests that unite us here as attendees at World Dairy Expo, as well as those that work on staff to make sure that this event is pulled together.
Just a quick chat with Haley Bukema, digital media specialist on staff now with World Dairy Expo, telling the stories that will unfold this week. You can follow the hashtag WDE25 and see some of Haley's work. All right, we'll catch up with you tomorrow morning, same time, same channel. More World Dairy Expo stories along with John Heinberg. See you then.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Matt Nair on air.
The borders are. Tom Homan was investigated for accepting $50,000 from undercover FBI agents.
50 grand in a fast food bag as a payoff. If Kamala Harris would have accepted a fast food bag full of fast food, it would have been congressional hearings, yes. 24 hours on every network that hated them.
It's corruption palooza, man. Yeah.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Advice for farmers and non-farm motorists about staying safe on country roads. Today on Farm to Fork. 4 months ago, I began airing a message about the possibility that the dozen regional centers for agricultural safety and health were at risk of closing because of funding cuts. I've now learned that those funds will not be shut off and that the centers may continue operating. One center representative said, quote, "We are convinced that media visibility and support help turn the tide." So, let's pick up where I left off with our 2025 Farm Safety and Health campaign. All-terrain vehicles have become standard equipment on farms and ranches. While useful for work, they're also recreational, but they can pose a safety issue for kids in particular. Make sure operators wear helmets and are schooled in safe use. High-speed crashes and rollovers can be avoided. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. When farmers take their equipment onto public roadways, they're obligated to have that equipment in safe condition. That includes lighting and marking, according to John Shutsky of the University of Wisconsin.
The bottom line is we're talking about making vehicles more conspicuous. And the big way that we do that and the way we've done this going all the way back into the 1960s is the SMV emblem.
Shutsky says regulations may vary state to state, but there are some basic lighting and marking standards for equipment that need to be followed.
But this really ought to be like our bedrock, and we ought to be starting from this sort of base. When we upgraded things in 2012, it was like, yeah, ASABE standards are nice, but like we don't have to follow those. And the bottom line is like, you know, why not? Like there are these options. If it's too expensive, there are feasible workarounds.
Motorists also need to be responsible in these situations, according to Cindy Kovar, program manager for Texas AgriBility.
You know, we're not going to get there a whole lot quicker by speeding past and putting ourselves or others at risk. So just find some patience and enjoy the view while you take a few minutes to get past them.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian Mike Lucas and director, producer, and founder of Wisconsinology.com, Frank Anderson. Thank God it's Monday. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
It's
the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Michigan's Supreme Court will hear a challenge against the Line 5 pipeline, the same oil pipeline Canadian oil giant Enbridge is pushing to reroute across northern Wisconsin. Opponents argue the Michigan Public Service Commission broke state laws when it approved the company's plan to drill an oil tunnel under the Straits of Mackinac. A new report from the Alliance for the Great Lakes and Clean Wisconsin shows nitrate pollution is taking a toll in our state. Thousands of families are paying higher costs to access safe drinking water and facing serious health risks because of nitrate pollution from fertilizer and manure. In 2022, farmers likely applied 16 million pounds of excess fertilizer beyond what crops needed. Right now on the Defender podcast, what do data centers mean for our water, land, energy bills, and why is it so hard to find out? An in-depth conversation on the secrets of data centers. Listen at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. An ex-Marine smashing his pickup into an LDS church in Grand Blanc, Michigan, opening fire and setting the building ablaze. Four people were killed, the gunman also killed in a shootout with police. With just hours to go before the federal government shuts down, President Trump will meet today with top Democratic and Republican leaders in Congress. ABC's Nicole D'Antonio in Washington with more on what each side wants.
Democrats are demanding a new funding bill that reverses Medicaid cuts and extends expiring Obamacare subsidies to prevent health insurance premiums from rising for millions of Americans. Republicans are pushing for a more simple short-term funding fix to keep the government running until November 20th. A shutdown would mean millions of federal employees, including members of the military, TSA officers, and ICE agents, would work without pay until the government reopens.
Missouri lawmakers agreeing to new congressional maps, just like Texas, that will likely give the GOP more seats in the midterms next year. This is ABC News.